Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, it's Tor Live. Happy Thursday, everyone. I'm John Gibbons, hosting this week. I'm joined by Gareth Roberts in the studio, Adam Smith in his, and Chloe Bloxham in his. And we are here to talk about, first of all, the game last night, a little bit of more reflection on Benfica and Liverpool getting through to the Champions League semi-final. Part four is obviously all going to be about the Man City FA Cup game that's at Wembley at 3:30 on Saturday. And then Adam Smith's just gone. He's obviously fuming, doesn't want to talk about any of that. No, here he is. Fantastic. We've also got a couple of inserts. We've got a bit of a team talk because there's no team talk tomorrow, as ever. We don't put out anything on the anniversary of Hillsborough, so we just stuck in a little team talk today in the insert. So for all you free listeners only, you're going to get a little bit of a taste of that subscriber show. And also, I've got Gavin Brown from the University of Liverpool talking about the Divock Origi scholarship and the fact there's now two kids from Liverpool studying at the University of Liverpool, studying law on Divock, which is very kind of him indeed. But before all that, game last night, Adam, it was a bit of a crazy one in the end. I was sat next to Neil, and I was got nil-nil written all over it. This shows what I know.
Yeah, can you hear me all right, first of all?
Yes, mate.
Great, perfect. Yeah, yeah, it was mad, but it was fun. Like, I think we were basically through after the first leg, right? So as soon as we scored the first goal, it was like, that's it. There is no way that we're conceding three to take it to extra time, you know, without reply on top of those. And then there's no way we're conceding four to get knocked out. So I think it just from that point, everyone was just like, fuck it then, let's go mental. And I think it was like the makeshift back line, they played on the offside brilliantly, but you know, at the end of the day, that makeshift back line was always going to struggle to hold the line is so precise. So yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Do you enjoy it, Chloe?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't worried. If they would have got within one goal, then yeah, I would have been worried. But the damage was done in the first leg, and it was a bit crazy to see. You know, we were 3-1 up, and then all of a sudden it went back to 3-3. The amount of goals they scored that was given offside maybe put your heart in your mouth. But I think at one stage it just became a bit of a joke, didn't it? And I mean, they scored in the last minute of the game as well, that Nunes, and it's given offside, but after the first one was given offside and VAR jumped in. I mean, VAR had a lovely day out, didn't it, there? I was worried for every single one after it. But, nah, absolutely. It was fun. It was enjoyable.
Yeah, I mean, I was having to count on both hands on my fingers at one point, Gareth, which is always an interesting sign. But once you realise that there was always that buffer, you know, it was all right, wasn't it?
That was it, wasn't it? It was 6-2 on aggregate at one point, wasn't it? And then, you know, they get two more back. But, you know, there was never really any jeopardy, never really any nervousness in the ground even. I mean, there was a maths issue in terms of, like, you know, I can see the scoreboard from where I am on the cop, so I kept looking at it and going, so I had that. Nah, I was still all right, you know. I think loads of people were doing that, and it kept going, no, it's still all right. I mean, look, the team itself was a calculated risk, wasn't it? It was a bit of a mismatch, and I think you could see that in how they played. You know, early doors, there was a lot of sort of misplaced passes and, you know, Milner's weird free kick and, you know, all the rest of it. Like, you just saw examples all the way through of, you know, this isn't really a team that plays together. It's not a defence that's played together before either. And Adam was right to say earlier on, you know, they're still trying to play the tactics of the usual team, still trying to use that offside trap. And I guess you could argue it was moderately successful in terms of all the ones that were ruled out, but then it was unsuccessful in the ones that were ruled in. That Nunes is good, though, isn't he?
Yeah.
Looks good, him. I can see why, you know, Klopp fancies him. Literally said he was a good-looking fella, didn't he? But he's not bad at footy as well. No, I liked him. I mean, not the dink finish, which was ruled out, was lovely. But just generally, he was about, wasn't he? Yeah. And he was playing some good balls, and you could see him cajoling his teammates and stuff like that. Felt like he was, you know, he was sort of putting on a bit of a performance for all these clubs who were into him, basically.
Well, Diaz did that at Anfield, and it worked out all right for him, didn't it?
Yeah, you'd have him, 100%. I know it really made me laugh, actually, you know, when you just know the people and the personalities. Got home, got in, got myself a brew, saw Gutman, yeah, straight away.
Dropped 80 million on him.
Yeah. Number one target, go out and get him now. Forget all these cups. Fuck the rest of the season. Go and buy this fella, and he's absolutely brilliant. And I was like, yeah, of course.
Maybe we can swap the League Cup for him. Maybe that's how it works. Would you take the shiny thing for your lovely player? I mean, they've got some good players, Adam. That's why they're in a Champions League quarter-final. And the fact that Liverpool were able to sort of dispatch them with relative ease and rest a few is a good thing for our season, because the games come thick and fast now. You know, Jäger was talking about moaning about the Newcastle game in the press conference. Someone's asked about any news on Newcastle game being moved there. John Summers said, no, it's set in stone now. It's 12:30 on Saturday, whether Jäger likes it or not. You're going, what time are you getting up? Have you worked it out, or are you going Friday?
No, we're going on the day driving, just going to get up early and go, be all right. I haven't worked out what time I'm driving. Well, I'm not driving, so I'm just getting a lift. So
you get picked up when you get picked up.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know, John.
if you're listening, John, let us know in the comments what time you're planning on leaving. I can't remember what the question was there. I got involved in admin. Adam, there's a lot of games, so it was good to rest some lads.
Yeah, look, I think the game couldn't have gone much better for us, to be honest. It was pretty perfect in the sense that we got to rest. You know, basically, we could easily go again with the same team that played Saturday. It played City last Sunday. We could go with that team again, thanks to the rotation we've been able to make. And I've got a sneaking suspicion that's what he's going to do as well. I think he's going to choose to do that because it'll be a little bit like you've learned how they've played now. We've seen all their tricks, so now you know what to expect. Go ahead and take them on. So yeah, I think it's really good that we've been able to rest some players. We could go full strength in the FA Cup, and then you can slightly rotate against United because they're shite. So it's really it's like the perfect little combination, which is just exactly where we all want to be with what's at stake now, you know.
Plenty more United are shite on the Anfield Wrap on Monday, by the way. So make sure you're listening to the free show and watching the Making Butty. I reckon Robbo will have a little go at that as well. Chloe, nice couple of goals for Bobby Firmino. Talking of positives, I thought he looked generally bright and good to see him on the score sheet. I think he's everyone's favourite person to score. It feels like we love them all, but when Bobby scores, it just feels like everyone celebrates that smidgen extra.
Oh. Yeah, we absolutely adore him, don't we? And he adores us, so it goes hand in hand. I think the thing with him is, I just think he gets us. He's just a bit mad. Even when someone else scores, he's obviously trying to take someone's head off with a lovely kick over there. But yeah, he just builds the crowd. He gives the crowd what they want. And he's also, he can be such an integral part of this running that we've got right now. He can be massive still for this football club. And I think a lot of people maybe don't realise what he actually does. He's a different dynamic than what we can do up top. Jota's been brilliant, obviously, but Bobby Firmino still has it all. He still has the technical ability to do absolute magical things in this front line. And the second finish is absolutely brilliant, by the way, on the volley it comes down. So, yeah,
nice.
He's still got far, you know, so much quality to still be making a difference in this team. And he's only got 14 months left on his contract, but maybe if he has a good run in, that might be extended. I think the only worry for anyone right now is the fact that his body's not being as good to him this season as it has in every other season.
Yeah, and there was some good post-match pints chat on Firmino. I enjoyed it. Kevin Neal, yourself, all of them, and that sort of beamed through.
Yeah, absolutely. He's rock and roll, isn't he, Bobby Firmino? I think that's the thing about him. You know, he's Brazilian. We all love a Brazilian. You know, he's got Elton John's wardrobe. He's got the mad teeth. You know, he's always slightly adjusting his Barnett in one way or another. I mean, he had a top knot, didn't he?
Yeah.
Let's not forget that. And you know, he's got all the skills you'd ever want in the locker. Like, you know, he just took that goal that Chloe's on about there as though like it was in training or something, just not bothered. Watch this on the volley bank, nice. And then, you know, I think it was Neil on the post match point saying like he was covering his ear to the cop, but it wasn't like in a Stuart Downing way, like, fuck you, you've all been doubting me way. It was like, where's my song here? Do you know what I mean? Like, come on, I'm boss. And he's just got that swagger, hasn't he? And as Chloe said, he's what, 31 now, is he? But, you know, 11 goals this season, not bad, chipped in. And I'd love to think, you know, we can maybe give him another year, not out of charity, but, you know, like, out of the fact that he can contribute. I mean, I think... It, you know, it's going to be like sort of Milner-esque in that it's going to become fewer and further between type of thing, given the other lads who got up front. But, you know, knowing that you've got someone with his nous, his ability to come in at times, come off the bench and things like that can be no bad thing, surely.
Absolutely, absolutely. Jackie there saying Bobby needs to stay. Chris Back, Bobby is still a vital member of the squad. I agree with both of those sentiments. That volley that Robert was talking about there, Adam, comes from a lovely Chimika's cross, and he also sets up Canate's header, very much won, gets up early and buries it. He's a top lad, Chimika's. Everyone really likes him, and he's a good personality. You know, the Greek Scouser stuff's all good for him, but above all else, he's a really good footballer, and we're very lucky to have someone who's able to come in and out like he is and perform at such a high level.
Like 100%, yeah, 100%. He seems like a really sound fella. Seems like most of the, yeah, all of the squad really like him. And you know what a thing to be able to say. We can rest Andy Robertson, but don't worry, this lad's coming in and he's great as well. Some of the crosses were absolutely fantastic. Just a really lovely thing. And you know, look, I don't think Gomez is doing bad down the right, but what would we give for an option on the right that's at the same level as he is on the left and is able to cover Trent in the same way that he's able to cover Robbo? It's brilliant. Really, really pleased. And obviously, as a left footer myself, I've got a kinship with him.
Would you say you've got a cultured left foot, Adam?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's got. Plantar fasciitis in at the moment, which means I can't stand on it properly, but sure.
You should see him swing it. You should see him swing it. Exactly. You
know. My passing.
I'm sure jumping up. I can't hear you, John, for some reason. I called a minute ago. No idea why not now.
That's it.
I'm going back to Adam.
Can you hear Gareth?
Can you hear me, Chloe?
I don't think you can't hear anybody, can you, Chloe?
I can hear you, I think, actually, yeah.
Adam, do you want to ask Chloe a question?
Yeah? Do you want any particular question you want me to ask her? Or?
It's all about the midfield.
So, Chloe, what did you make of Liverpool's midfield last night? I thought James Milner struggled a little bit.
There we go, yeah. I was really impressed with Naby Keita. I like Naby Keita. He looks like... you know, we've been on Munnar and over him, but he looks like when he's started to play now, he's got a bit of consistency about him, and I'm actually really enjoying it. The first leg, he was brilliant, and last night I thought he was really good as well. He was an engine. The ball for Diaz leading up to Firmino's goal, very unlucky that Diaz, you know, he's not got an assist there for him, because it was lovely. But he just kept us going, ticked us over, and he got back as well, so I've been really impressed with Naby Keita. As for the other two, I mean, Milner, he probably ran the most yards. I didn't see him as much. It looked like, in the second half, at least it looked like one ball cut us open and he bit in. But the defence, obviously, not makeshift, but players that have never played together. And only one named centre-half there, which is Matip. So I think you can forgive that. The midfield, I'm just quite happy that Anderson got, you know, a little run out. And then got taken off because it's your captain, so he will be starting against City on Saturday. As for Milner, you love to see him because he's one of the club's best signings, in my opinion, and I absolutely adore the lad.
Yeah, that's Chloe on the midfield. John, back in the studio.
Thanks, Adam. On Keita there, he's one of a few now, Gareth, where you wouldn't say that they're quite in that first team, you know, if there was a final. I mean, he ends up playing the final because Thiago gets injured. But if you think about the team that played against Man City being more or less his first team, there's three or four who don't get in there who, if you put them in, perform, I would argue, at the same level, if not just below. And I'd say I'd put Diaz in there, I'd put Keïta in there, I'd put Konaté in there. There's another one we just talked about, Tchimikas there. It's such a gift, isn't it, to have, you know, four or five players who are just as good as the first 11 and just can't get in because there's not enough shits.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And that's the ideal situation that you want, really, isn't it? I mean, it's not for those players that you're talking about. But if the manager can keep those players happy and hungry, then it's perfect for him and it's perfect for us. And it's exactly what you want. And the idea that there's not much drop off between these players, superb. I mean, you know, I'm sure we'll come on to talk about Manchester City and you know, the celebrations in the ground when we there, De Bruyne had gone off. and you know, and that's with good reason. I mean, that's not, you know, just celebrating an injury or whatever before someone gets offended by that. But, you know, it's the idea that, you know, there's a huge drop off to whoever else comes in. It, like, you know, that might be Grealish. Someone might say, well, he spent a shitload of money on him, Sam, but he's still not De Bruyne, though, even though they spent all that money. Equally, if you've got someone like Nathan Ake coming in or whatever, he's a decent player, but he's not Walker. And so when you can close those gaps and you almost don't notice a squad player coming in, then that's brilliant. But I like, you know, what we've been used to and what we're used to in football is there is drop-offs and there's not much you can do about. Like, it used to annoy us, didn't it, when we were, you know, what, it's not that long ago we called a two-man team around Gerrard and Torres and things like that. And there was a drop-off then, do you know what I mean? If they were in the side, you're like, shit. You know, like...
Well, that was the problem 13-14 as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
So 10 good players and then the bench was just, there's lads to be found somewhere.
And, you know, I can remember in Well Read and things like that, writing big articles about, you know, get off and goes back, he can't help it that he isn't X, do you know what I mean? But, you know, now we're getting a squad where the, you know, the quality levels keep rising. And then we've got this sort of young undercurrent as well. Who were there. You've got Divy kicking around as well, who I thought looked pretty bright when he came on. Wouldn't rule out a Divy moment between now and the end of the season. So, you know, yeah, it's brilliant around the squad right now. And you're right about Naby. Like, I mean, I'm not one of his biggest fans, I've got to be honest. I know there's this huge debate that goes on virtually every week, it seems, online. I never engage in it. I don't get involved in it. I just think he's been disappointing compared to what I thought we were getting. Some of that's down to luck, some of that's down to form, etc., etc. What I would say is I think it's been dead obvious all the way through that the management back him, that the management rate him. And, you know, you've seen when he's done bits, like you think about in Benfica, you know, you could see them going to him, going like, well, in Naby, because they know he's got it in him. And I think we all know he's got it in him. And if we can see it more, then fantastic between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, Bob Bailey says here, surprised to say, but I think Naby Keïta should start on Saturday. Well, we'll see. We'll get everyone's Manchester City predictions, team and thoughts. After a little bit of a break, you're going to hear about couple of Liverpool legends now, Josh Sexton and Divock Origi, and then we are going to be back here. In the meantime, well, if you listen on the podcast, you're going to get those inserts. If you're listening live, you're going to get us trying to figure out if Chloe can hear us now. Give us a sec. It's John Gibbons and Neil Atkinson with the insert courtesy of Audio Boom, and we are promoting NordVPN, and Neil Atkinson used NordVPN this weekend.
The weekend just gone, yeah. I don't want to go into too many details because, you know, some people might feel as though the practice might be a teeny little bit questionable, but all I want to say is that NordVPN did not disappoint me anywhere near as much as Manchester United. And if everyone wants to link those things, that's down to them. NordVPN, second to none, absolutely terrific. Manchester United Football Club, institutionally and on a sporting level, absolutely disgraceful, but not a word to be said negatively about NordVPN. I want to be crystal clear.
I'd like to think somewhere the NordVPN marketing guys are going, might be onto something here.
Might just be onto something.
What a slogan, NordVPN, not as disappointing as Manchester United.
Yep, I mean, you know, to be fair to Manchester United and not to NordVPN, it's a very low bar. Currently, it is fair to say. But my VPN experience was absolutely second to none. I will not have a word said against it. It's so easy to use, and and that's the thing that with this sort of stuff, and certainly when you're a, you know, you're a man of 41 years of age these days, you can feel as though these things may be a little bit difficult. It's not at all. It's very much worth downloading. It's worth having in your back pocket in a number of different ways. I'm going to Portugal this weekend, and looking forward to that massively. But I may well need to use that to access some UK-based content whilst I'm over there. Not least, I've started watching Killing Eve, as I mentioned to you last night. You didn't even know it was out on iPlayer, so I will be staying on top of Killing Eve via the iPlayer whilst I'm away in Portugal. So having the VPN there for the backup for that sort of thing is great.
Derry Girls on Channel 4.
Derry Girls on Channel 4. You can't let this one go. By the way, have you watched We Are Lady Parts yet?
I have not.
It's about a group of Islamic women who form a punk band. I'm saying it's in your areas.
It is. A lot of buzzwords for
yeah,
me there.
Yeah, it's terrific. The jokes are phenomenal all the way through. But yeah, if you were to be abroad or you wanted to watch something like that, you can get that. That's on all four.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the wonderful use for these things at the moment, is that it does allow you to have access to different parts of the world in a very similar way. I would heartily recommend, this has just turned into TV recommendations. I hope the people at NordVPN are all right. P-Valley, which so far hasn't had a UK release. It's available in the US in lots and lots of places. It's absolutely brilliant, P-Valley. A wonderful melodrama, but the point about this is being able to see this stuff from all over the place. We've talked in the past about Kev Samson's excellent recent work around Anne and all of those sorts of bits and pieces. You know, that stuff you can make it available to you by using NordVPN, and it's excellent for purpose.
Yeah, one of the many uses for NordVPN, extra security as well, and as Neil says, really easy to use. I downloaded it the app when I was over in Ireland recently for our tour, and I wanted to my phone to think I was in England. That it was very, very straightforward to use indeed. So if you want to get involved, you go to nordvpn.com/wrap. That's nordvpn.com/wrap. Use the promo code wrap and you can get an exclusive NordVPN deal. I'm struggling here. Huge discount off your plan, and additional month free, and a bonus gift as well. And it's completely risk free with Nord's 30-day money back guarantee. So I will read out this web link again. Or I might just get Neil to do it. NordVPN.com/wrap. There we go. And thanks a lot to them for partnering with us again.
Hi, it's the Team Talk. I'm Josh Sexton. Jurgen Klopp has just held his pre-Manchester City press conference, and joining me to briefly react to that are John Gibbons and Fuad Hassan. You may be wondering, Josh, why is the Team Talk a part of Tour Live this week? Well, because it's the Hillsborough anniversary tomorrow. We don't ever put content out on that day, as we pause for reflection to think of the people who lost their lives that day, also to think of the survivors, the friends and the family too. But the Team Talk will be back in its full next week, and hopefully I'll be hosting, because I've not hosted for the last 2 weeks, so that'll be nice to be able to say hi again for the full show. But Jurgen Klopp has just held his pre-Manchester City press conference, and some interesting things come out of it, Johnny. He sort of remained trademark Jurgen Klopp with a dig at the broadcasters around the Newcastle kickoff time in particular, but there's obviously also sort of concerns around that going into this weekend, given the travel arrangements and them putting it at a mad time of half three on a Saturday. It feels like once again Jurgen Klopp is basically just banging his head against a brick wall, but fair play to him for sticking with it.
Yeah, it almost felt set up, that question, didn't it, about Newcastle, because it was the very first question, and I thought, so why is someone talking about Newcastle here when there's obviously huge games, you know, before then? And then Jürgen started moaning about it. I thought, so maybe this is why. But he made the point, like you say, that, you know, that no one from BT's rang him. Basically, that no one's been in touch to say, you know, great point, Jürgen.
Worried about Des Kelly.
I mean, maybe they haven't got his number. Maybe that's what it is. But no one's sort of been in touch yet. I think, you know, for Jürgen, it's doesn't make any sense, because he's like, yeah, putting Newcastle Liverpool on telly, but why does it have to be then? Obviously, BT Sport will say, well, they've only got certain slots, and why should Sky only get Liverpool effectively? So, you know, there's different people competing for different things, isn't it? And people say, well, football managers, you know, take the money, and that money comes from broadcasters, you know, partly, and things like that. So it's never quite as straightforward as Jürgen sort of makes out. But I, at the same time, I do understand his frustrations, largely because it's a shit time to play football. And to look ahead to that Newcastle, you know, the fans from, you know, Liverpool are going to have to get up
pretty early to get up to Newcastle for the half 12, I'd say. So no one sort of seems to be considering them, but then we're here, there and everywhere at the moment, aren't we?
Absolutely. If we played on Mars, we'd find a way to get there, wouldn't we, John? Fuad, it's interesting as well, because within that, Jurgen Klopp sort of says that he feels like it's unfair that another team should get an advantage by virtue of when a kickoff time is. He's obviously referring to the fact that Liverpool will be playing on the Wednesday before that Saturday, 12:30, and Newcastle won't be playing in a midweek game that week. And you sort of take his point there. It's funny, the next question that follows then is someone asking him, well, do you think you had an advantage last night because you played a not intense game against Benfica, while City played a very intense one against Atletico Madrid? And there's obviously a few sort of potential injuries issues for City that have come from that, but I don't know how you're feeling in terms of that, in terms of the intensity that, you know, Liverpool's game was played with, which I would argue was a fair amount considering, but obviously it was not a lot of lads who would expect to start on Saturday, and then City seemed to just be a big brawl.
Yeah, definitely. I think with him though, there's a thing, there's a separation between what's, you know, in control off the pitch and what's in control
absolutely
on the pitch.
Yeah.
And you know, he reminded everyone that, you know, Liverpool played, you know, away in Benfica before the City game in the league, and that's a thing, because, you know, you can't have it both ways really. So I think that there's that thing in his head a little bit, and to him, you know, the whole thing, because the quadruple gets thrown at him so much, but I think the thing he always sort of throws back throughout the last few weeks and a little bit again today is the fact that, well, it's so hard to win, obviously in terms of a sporting sense, but also of how everything's organised in this country, and how, you know, how you don't get that help from the kind of domestic leagues and broadcasters when it comes to, you know, organising games in the league and giving your team's the best chance in Europe. For someone who's been in Europe, he knows that, you know, when you go to Germany, Spain, they do try and help their, you know, teams out in terms of how the fixtures are laid and the kickoff times and things like that when they have the European ties. So I think that, you know, he's not asking for a lot. You know, you made it very clear, you know, that the preparation for semi-finals and the amount of games is very much on him, on them, and the fact that it's new, it's a challenge for them, and they're more than happy to kind of undertake that, but they need that little bit of help when it comes to things, you know, that are not sort of on the pitch and that are off the pitch, and things that to him just seem very logical, and people aren't making logical decisions. And it was funny again, you know, when he brought up the trains and, you know, the transport going down, there was a second there where you thought, maybe has it been sorted? No. And then it was sort of like, and of course it hasn't. And that's probably a good little kind of summary of how a lot of things are run in this country.
Yeah, Johnny, he referred to last night's game against Atletico Madrid for Manchester City, said he hadn't watched it yet. I presume him and the coaching staff will be sort of watching that with the players later on in the day. But he referred to Manchester City's performance against Liverpool at the weekend, and he said that he thought City were at their best, and he didn't feel like Liverpool were at their best. And I wonder whether he, you know, Jurgen in his sort of heart of hearts believes that gives Liverpool an advantage going into this one, because Liverpool obviously managed to come away from the Etihad with a point, and if we're sort of, you know, saying that is Manchester City at their best, and then Liverpool still have gears to go through. I mean, he talked about them still playing good football, particularly around the goals, but you feel like there's some more gears for Liverpool to click through this weekend in particular.
Yeah, it'd be interesting if he reached that conclusion watching it back, or whether he that was how he felt during the game, because obviously it takes a little bit of a while for us to make a change in the match. So whether he didn't feel like he could influence it from what he had from the bench. I mean, obviously, you know, he has got his half-time team talk and we score sort of straight after that. And so, you know, adjustments can be made during game. But I wonder whether he's watched it back and thought, you know, is there anything I could have done differently in the game? Obviously, there'll be things the players do differently because they're making, you know, 100 decisions a minute, aren't they? And so there'll always be things that they can improve. So they will have spent the time. They'll have watched the weekend back. I'm sure at some point they'll watch City Atletico and maybe have a bit of a wry smile at some of the things going on. It's funny because apparently I didn't watch the game, obviously, either, because we were all watching Liverpool, including Jurgen. But apparently there was the classic from the commentator, oh, no one wants to see this.
Yeah, there was.
I reckon Jurgen Klopp does. I think he fucking loves that shit. Regardless if it's any into the game or not, like, I reckon he's bang into it. And of course the rest of us are as well. But yeah, I've got sidetracked there. Yeah, so, but to sort of answer your question, Josh, I think, you know, that, I think, you know, the message will be going to the players that, A, we can play a lot better than that, you know, B, these are sort of the mistakes we made, these are the, you know, problems we faced in the game, and these are the things we need to deal with better. But also, just like you said, I think I'm up to C now. Look, the problems we can cause them when we're not playing well, when we're quite far from our best, and when they're performing brilliantly on and off the ball like they did were still able to score two goals at their gaff. So, yeah, I think there are positives from that, certainly.
Yeah, Phil, we know how small the margins are in these games in particular. I thought Juliet Ferrington's question was really interesting in particular, where she sort of talks about, you know, the idea of the teams giving each other a lot more respect, and Benfica being quite an open game last night, City's game being quite sort of tight and intense, and whether that almost prepares City better for a Liverpool-City clash, because, you know, Jurgen Klopp talks about there the idea that City have come and played Liverpool in the past and not let their fullbacks go over the halfway line and use a lot of sort of stopping tactics for Liverpool. And he said, you know, maybe we need a few more of them for City than we had at the weekend. And you'd sort of imagine that Jurgen Klopp and his Liverpool players will have watched that back at the weekend, or at least will do before the game on Saturday. And there'll be a lot that they can point at and say, well, this is the thing that we can do better. Whereas if you're Man City and Pep, you know, maybe there are a load of those things, but they must be thinking, you know, played really well there and still couldn't win.
Yeah, it was funny after the game, actually, because Klopp said something. It was very small, but he said, you know, we tried to play and it was cool. And I think he was almost a little bit surprised maybe about how brave Liverpool are in certain moments. In the past, we've seen Liverpool go more direct, and then, you know, City did that, if anything, this time. And I think maybe that's where the change might be slightly, because, you know, it's really harsh to call out Fabinho, but, you know, he was poor. And if any player is slightly off it in that sort of game, it does stand out a bit. And I think you're not going to see that again because of the level he's at. You know, he doesn't throw in loads of those performances, and it's a really hard kind of situation to play. And he's had a rest as well, which will kind of factor in. But you back Liverpool's midfield to sort of be better and be better in those situations. And, you know, I think same at right back a little bit. Trent is passing was slightly off it in the first half. And these little things where, you know, in other games, you can sort of brush over them a little bit and, you know, players can get themselves out of it. But because of how intense City were and what's riding on the game, it was hard. And you back Liverpool this time to sort of make amends with that, because they don't throw in performances or even individual performances like that very often. And I think because of City's, you know, the game last night and hope, well, when I say hopefully a couple of injuries to key players, I think that will be slightly different. And I feel Liverpool will feel a little bit more, with a little bit more momentum going to this than City will.
Absolutely, yeah. What do you think in terms of team selection, John? Are we expecting any surprise for this one? I think there's some quite interesting selections last night. You know, Joel Matip in particular was one where I felt like he probably wouldn't have played the game last night in an ideal world, but he does. Do you think he starts again on Saturday?
Yeah, I think he'll start Matip alongside Van Dijk, and I think maybe Canati comes in for Manchester United after that, because that's quite quickly. So I think that's what he'll do. Obviously, you'd expect both of the fullbacks to come in. I think he'll pick the same midfield as he did last week, just because Fabinho obviously gets the rest, Thiago gets most of the rest, and Henderson gets 60. It's just before 60, actually, he makes those three subs, isn't it? It's on about 58 or so. So I think, you know, the fact that he does that and then Keita stays on suggests to me that, you know, he's maybe got his eye on Keita starting that Man United game as well. And then up top, I think the only question marks Jota.
Jota's got a slight knock, which should be all right, but there's a chance that, he's not.
Yeah, so, I mean, look, Salah will start, Mane will start, I would say, and so it's just at the place where the Bobbies played himself in with a couple of goals, and obviously loves playing against Manchester City, or whether he sticks with Jota. I think that's the big one for me, and I think the rest of the team more or less picks itself. I don't know who I think, but I think it's the number nine for me that feels the most up for grabs.
Yeah, Phil, and I was sort of lobbying for Bobby to start in the Manchester City game at the weekend, so I think, you know, my case has only been enhanced by his performance last night. Would you be throwing him in? Is there any other sort of surprise you'd throw in?
Yeah, no, I'd definitely be looking to throw him in. I think seeing that sort of old school front three as they're now called would be really good, because, you know, we've seen him get a lot of joy in the past, and we've seen Firmino, you know, be able to help out in midfield a little bit more when needed. And look, Mane's been great there when he has played centrally, but I think Firmino's just got that little bit more in those positions. And against City, that's always been a really useful part of the plan to have him do that. And look, Diaz threw up a bit of a question just because of how exciting he's been and you know what he can bring. But I feel like that's one off the bench where, you know, you look at the City game, if we're heading towards 70 and we need, you know, we need someone on, and we're talking about, you know, extra time as well, he's one that could really come on and you know, really give them a lot of problems in those next kind of 50 minutes.
He feels very big pitch at Wembley, Diaz, doesn't he?
Yeah. exactly that. And you know, against Chelsea at Wembley, he had loads of fun, didn't he?
Yeah, big pitch for him. Big pitch.
Chipping over people's pitch heads, running after it. It's brilliant.
It's fucking massive here. It's great.
Go on then, we'll round off with score predictions. John, I'll come to you first.
I'll say 2-1 Liverpool.
2-1 Liverpool, Phil.
I was going to go for 2-1. I'm going to go 3-1.
3-1. I love it. Well, obviously, as anyone who listens to the team talk knows, I'm not a shithouse, so I'll have to match Fuad on a 3-1. Hopefully, it's another glorious occasion for Liverpool at Wembley. We'll hand you back now to the guys in the studio. Up the Reds.
And it is John Gibbons for Tour Live. And we're bringing you some exciting news and some interesting news and some fun news regarding the University of Liverpool. You might have seen a few months ago the announcements that Divock Origi is getting involved with the university and getting involved with sponsoring two undergraduate students each year and helping them through their education. And now two of those undergraduate students have been announced and have talked about how they're getting on. So to talk about the scholarship and how the university got involved with Divock Origi, I'm delighted to be joined by Gavin Brown, who's the Pro Vice Chancellor for Education at Liverpool, the University of Liverpool. Gavin, thank you so much for coming on.
Pleasure, John. Good to see you.
So I guess to start at the beginning, if that's okay, Gavin, when you first found out that Divock wanted to get involved in the university and how that came about?
Divock contacted us through his agent last year, 2021, and he was really keen to see how he could help us at the University of Liverpool help more local young people through giving them access to educational opportunities. And we had a lot of conversation with him about what that assistance, that help might look like. And in the end, he made a very generous donation to the university, which has allowed us to set up these four scholarships for local young people to study undergraduate degrees with us.
Oh, so it's four each year, is it? Sorry, I got that wrong.
No, you're right. It was two this year. It will be another one in the coming academic year, and then another one the year after that. So it'll be four in total, but over 3 years.
Okay, I understand. Thanks for that clarification. Obviously, we got news from you guys that two scholars, Bushra and Grace, both from Liverpool, recently started their degrees in law at the university, and they've both talked about the positive impact that having, you know, the scholarships had on them, having their studies, because it can be the difference, can't it, between for some young people, between whether they're able to study or not.
Yeah, absolutely. For some, it can. Obviously, for Bushra and Grace, it's making a huge difference. So the scholarship funds all of their tuition fees for the duration of their program, and also makes a contribution to their maintenance costs as well. So it seriously reduces the barriers to education for some young people. It's only the scholarship is only for students who live within the Liverpool city. You know, you have to live within under the Liverpool City Council wards, if you like, to qualify for the scholarship. I would say, just to so your listeners are aware, it's coincidence that Bushra and Grace are both in law. This is not a law scholarship. The students can go into any of our undergraduate programs, but obviously in this case, both of the students are in law. Yeah.
I was interested about that because I know Divock Origi has an interest in psychology, doesn't he? So I don't know whether he's made any noises around supposed to psychology students. I don't know.
Well, applications can come from any student who's applied to any subject. So basically what happens is students apply to us. If they choose us as their, if they get an offer from us and choose us as their firm choice, then they could submit an application for one of these scholarships, as long as they live within the Liverpool city boundaries. And then we screen those applications to create a shortlist, and then Divock himself and others then look at that shortlist and narrow it down to those that are actually going to be awarded the scholarship.
Obviously very hands-on.
He's taking a very keen interest in which students are applying, why they want the scholarship, and particularly what their future plans and aspirations are. That's a key part of why he's giving. You know, he's looking for students that, you know, have got clear plans about what they want to do with their education and the difference that they will make to society when they graduate.
Divock Origi has made a huge impact on this football club. You know, some massive goals, not least a Champions League final winner, but this is having a real impact in the city, isn't it? And not just now, but for years to come. You know, these students will no doubt go on to become lawyers, I'm sure, and very successful, you know, we all hope, you know, in the city, influencing other people, maybe then having the position to help others as well. This is, there'll be lasting legacy is what Divock's doing here, isn't there?
Absolutely. You know, and these sorts of donations are crucial. The university puts a lot of time, resource and money into trying to promote social mobility and open up opportunities for students to come and study with us. The university itself spends well over £10 million every year on financial support to students from disadvantaged backgrounds. But, you know, the more that we can get people contributing to, you know, the aspirations of these young people and seeing the potential that they have, the more that, you know, they will be able to realise that potential. It's a great gift that Divock has made, and, you know, I hope others will be able to follow his lead.
Yeah, hopefully, as you say, the scheme runs to 2023-24. You mentioned there that applications obviously open for people who want to get involved. If you're young people listening to this from within the city of Liverpool, or some slightly older people who have younger people in their household who would maybe like to get involved, what is the best way of finding out more?
So look on our website, www.liverpool.ac.uk. Go to the scholarships section. You'll see the Divock Origi scholarships there. There's an application form that they can fill in. It's very clear on how to do that. But really, the main section is about why this scholarship will make a difference and what are they hoping to do with their degree and their lives. The closing date, I think, is 5 p.m. on June the 30th. So there's still time yet. As I say, the applicants must be in receipt of an offer from us and have put us down as their firm choice in UCAS. And then if they apply by the June 30th deadline, then they'll hear from us about the outcome by sometime in September.
And just the idea of Divock Origi himself, kind of shuffling him around the papers and having a little look through it and thinking about your future is quite an exciting thing as well. So I would encourage people to get involved. And maybe like Grace and Bushra, you could be the next recipient of this scholarship. Just to sort of finish up, Gavin, now I'm sure the University of Liverpool is neutral on football in this city, wanting both Liverpool and Everton to do well. But when Divock Origi, you know, comes onto the pitch, maybe off the bench, is everyone in the university cheering him on a little bit?
Of course. He supports us. We have to support him, don't we?
Very diplomatically put. Thanks a lot, Gavin, from the University of Liverpool. Really appreciate your time.
Thanks, John. Good to talk to you. Bye now.
It's John Gibbons for Tour Live with an insert courtesy of Football Prizes. Now, Football Prizes have partnered with us a few times this season, and we really appreciate it. We appreciate their support. But also, it's really cool prizes, and it's a nice one to help, hopefully, some of you guys win some fantastic stuff. Now, this week, the main prize is 2 tickets for Liverpool v Man United in hospitality at Anfield. That's not too bad, is it? It's the hottest tickets in town. It is a week Tuesday. It's going to be a big game, and you could be there. Tickets cost just £9.95 to enter, and there's only 149 tickets available, so that's a 1 in 149 chance of you getting those 2 Liverpool v Man United hospitality tickets, which isn't bad at all. You see all these competitions on Twitter retweet for all this, and it's got thousands and thousands and thousands of retweets already. This is 149 tickets only to win, to potentially win 2 tickets for Liverpool v Man United in hospitality as well. So you'll get your dinner and all that before the game, and hopefully enjoy a fantastic Liverpool performance. They tend to be now, don't they, as well? There's other prizes as well. They do these instant win prizes now. So basically, you'll find out straight away if you've won one of these at certain numbers. If you get them, then you can get these instant wins. There's 5 of them. The first one is a Luis Diaz signed and framed Liverpool shirt. Decent. The next one is Alisson signed and custom framed Liverpool montage. There's £20 in the Liverpool club shop, or £10 in the Liverpool club shop, or there's 4 £5 football prizes credit. So you could win one of those instant wins as well, even if you don't get the hospitality ticket. So well worth a go. As I say, it's £9.95. You've only got till tomorrow night though to play this one. So the live draw is Friday the 15th of April. At 8:30, they do it on Facebook, I think it is. So make sure you're quick if you're listening to this and you do want a chance of winning. And the link for you, I'll just get it up. Apologies. It's footballprizes.co.uk/product/LIV-Man United. So I'll do that again. footballprizes.co.uk/product/LIV Football-Man United. Just go to the Football Prizes website as well if you're struggling with that. It is right on there. Best of luck. And if someone from the Anfield app wins, do let us know. Drop us a message because I'll be absolutely made up for you. Up the Reds, and thanks a lot to Football Prizes for partnering with us again. And to Wembley on Saturday then, a 3:30 kickoff on Saturday. I'll go to you, Chloe, celebrate the fact that you can hear my question. how are you feeling about it? How's the mood? How's the nerves?
It's not as bad as the Premier League, and I think it was because I thought that if City won that game and they were 4 points clear, the title was over. They couldn't even fill their allocation out, so I'm really not that worried. I mean, that says enough about the team as it is, but... it's going to be a hard one, we all know it is, but relish in the moment because there's not many teams that get to do this. And Jürgen Klopp and his men keep taking us on these journeys. So I'm actually excited. Last Sunday I was stressed, but this one so far I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, I feel less nervous than last week, Adam, and I don't know whether that's because... You know, the Premier League means more to me or whether, you know, I've seen it now, I've experienced the worst. The fact that it's at Wembley rather than sort of going to their place. Where are your levels of nerves and what does that tell you about yourself?
Do you know what? It's really interesting because I'm more nervous about this. And I think the reason why is I've already consigned myself to the idea that City are going to win the league. I thought that regardless of who won the game last weekend, I just think their fixtures are too easy, and I know what Neil says about it and everything else, but I just think, like, I really don't like the look of that Tottenham game for us. They've really hit form under Conte, and I think Kane and Son are just set up to try and hurt a team like us, giving them so much space to run into. So I'm just of the opinion that we're probably not going to have what it takes, you know, to get over the line in the Premier League because City are just so good, as they should be for such an expensively assembled squad. Whereas the FA Cup, you know, that it is literally who wins this goes on and makes it into the final. So it feels massive. It feels a little bit like it could be a precursor to the Champions League and all of the nerves that come with that as well, which is just not... I just can't be doing with it, to be honest. It's just too much. I really hate them, and I really dislike everything about Man City for reasons that I won't get into because you'll probably have to put legal disclaimers all around everything I say. But I'm not a fan, and I just can't be bothered with the tenseness of the games. But on the flip side, if we beat them, you've got to fancy us to win the FA Cup, and you know we haven't done that since 2006. And whilst it's definitely the lowest trophy on the list of trophies that we can take part in, it feels big to me as somebody who grew up with it still. And I'd like us to win it again. And of course, you know, listen, if we finish the season with a domestic double and that's all we get, that's nothing to be sniffed at. We've waited for years to win more trophies. So I really want to win it. And so I feel really nervous. And what it says about me, John, is that I think I'm just a terrible person.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Gareth, the FA Cup, it's just the semi-final, but I agree with Adam that it does feel like if we can get past City, then they probably will go on to win it. I think the Palace-Chelsea game will be interesting. I think Palace have got a better shout than most people are giving them sort of credit for. I know Chelsea, have had a couple of good results recently. You know,
Palace are quite enjoyable now as well.
They're a laugh, aren't they?
Yeah, they're good. They're a good side, and I like Vieira as well. And you have to think about what's gone on this week, that it sort of increased Palace's chances, and then we can all be balanced and go on about 1990 and 4-3s and all that kind of stuff, which has absolutely no relevance in 2022, really. But
you could try and get him right on.
Yeah, that'd be all right, wouldn't it? Get Brighty on, get them all on, get the full team in.
Jeff Thomas,
yeah. But I really want to win it at the weekend, of course, and... My thing with it as well is not just is it a semi-final of the FA Cup, but also it's them again. And like, I just want to beat them now. I feel like it's been, you know, too long since we last beat them. I didn't think we gave the greatest account of ourselves last weekend in terms of how we started the game and things like that. And I think we can do more. And look, we still caused them problems, even not being the best version of ourselves. So we were the first side this season to stop them from winning a game when they've taken the lead. We were the first side to score that early in the second half against them and that kind of thing. We caused them problems without actually playing as well as we can. And, you know, I watched the highlights of the Atletico game.
and they were causing them problems, and they could have scored goals, and that, you know, they had chances and everything. So it's not, look, they're great, of course they're great, and they've got all that resource, and they spent all that resource, and they've got that manager, and they've got this squad, but they've got problems as well. And, you know, their squad depth isn't that impressive, really. You know, I was having a look before, and I think you've got like 13 players at City. No, 13 players at Liverpool who've done 2,000 minutes plus, and it's 10 at Liverpool because we've managed out the minutes a bit more. And obviously we make all these changes against Benfica. They've just gone pretty much same side again. They're having fights, they're pulling hair, they're getting involved in brawls in the tunnel, they're flying out to Spain. You know, like they've used a lot of energy there mentally and physically, surely. And I don't know. I just liked, by the way, I seen in the comments there a little bit earlier about the Wembley pitch, and it always makes me laugh about people going about as though it's fucking massive and all that. Like, City's is bigger. Old Trafford's bigger. We won 5-0 this season. Molineux's bigger, and we've won there as well. So, okay, Wembley is bigger than Anfield, but we are capable of going to a big pitch and winning. We have done this season, so I don't think we need to bang on too much about the pitch. But I don't know, I think as well, like, they've got this obsession, City, of course, with winning the Champions League, because that's what makes you truly great, isn't it? And they haven't done it. So for as long as they don't win it, it means people like me are still able to bang on about playoff wins against Gillingham and all this kind of stuff as being as relevant as anything they've done in Europe. So they want to get that off the back. You feel like the players all want that, the manager all wants that. And I just wonder if that takes a little percentage away from them. Like, that's their priority, really, even if they are giving it all in every game. Whereas Liverpool, I feel like we want to land a punch on their chin, and this is the opportunity to do it this weekend. So I'm bang up for it. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to the trip down, being there, all the rest of it. I'm not nervous about it. I fancy us.
Fancy us, Chloe?
With our squad, yeah, of course.
what do you do with the squad then? What would you determine last Saturday?
The usual back five, obviously. Me midfield. I'd like to put Cater in there, but I'm not going to, because Jordan Henderson's not going to be dropped. So I'm going to go with the same midfield, even though I think they really struggled. My only change is I think Diaz should start on the left wing. I would have started Firmino, other than the fact that in that second half against City, I thought Mane was our best player. I thought he was really, really good. So I'd put Mane up top, and I'd put Salah. I'd bring him back in. So the only change there is Diaz. But I'm hoping that the midfield's going to be better than it was, because it was getting, you know, bypassed a couple of times in that City game. But, you know, they've had a little bit of a rest now. Some of them played 30 minutes, which is fine. You've got to have some form of rhythm going into the game. And hopefully they can crack on, because we've got a brilliant squad along with City, and the two greatest sides coming together. And hopefully the Reds do come out on top.
I mean, the manager made a comment before Adam in the press conference saying that, you know, we were quite a bit below our level. He said City played really, really well, and us sort of, you know, good in parts. If you like, you know, what Chloe said there about the midfield, you know, needing to be better at holding the ball and getting us up. They'll be aware of that. You know, Klopp's not just saying it in a press conference and not telling the players. They'll have watched the videos. Are you confident that they'll cope better, both in terms of defence and midfield, with what City have to throw at us, and that will allow us to get the ball up to the pitch more often to these wonderful attackers we've got?
Yeah, I am. I mean, for the record, while I'm more nervous about this than I am the league game, I do think we'll win. And I think in part that's because these lads have just experienced it. They've just gone through it. They know what happened in the first half. You know, like Fabinho looked like he was running through treacle at times in that first half. He just couldn't, you know, Van Dijk looked really nervous, which you've just never seen from him before. And they all looked a little bit like they were overwhelmed by it. I don't really think City played like significantly better than us. I think we played really poorly and it made them look really good, if I'm being totally honest. And I know a lot of people don't agree with that, and that's totally fair. But that's kind of how I felt watching the game, that we were making them look good. And I think that they've experienced that now. And so they'll go into this and be like, nah, this how we played in the second half is the real Liverpool, not that first half performance. So let's go out there, let's get things tight at the back, and let's make sure that we, as you say, get the balls to the lads up front. I've seen, you know, a thing before of he's not sure about Jota's fitness is, and he's got to check tomorrow. So I think what's going to happen there, I would think, is that I think Chloe's right. Mane will go through the middle and Diaz on the left, I reckon. And that's really exciting. So the midfield, I think, will know exactly what it needs to do. And the defence won't be quite as nervous, I don't think, because it just knows what's happened. And also, Guardiola was always going to have a plan for our high line, right? He was always going to have some ideas because he's a brilliant coach, right? We've seen the plan now. We know what the plan was, so we can go. You know, we can spend this week, you know, trying to figure out a way to negate that plan. And also, none of the goals they scored came because of the high line. In fact, the only thing the high line did was stop them scoring the winner through Sterling. So I'm quite excited. I do think it'll be a really good game. I'm just nervous because I want to win it.
Nervous because you want to win it. What would you be doing from free, Gareth? Because he's got good options to go for.
Yeah, there's people in the comments saying about Bobby, and I understand why, because, you know, Bobby grafts, doesn't he? And Bobby would cause like the likes of Rodri problems, and we'll drop into midfield and do work there that the likes of Jota doesn't do, in my opinion. But I just don't see him starting two consecutive games would be my thing. To give him such a big role last night says you don't give him a big role again. And, you know, before that it was Watford for Bobby, wasn't it, as well? So he's been using him sparingly. I think Chloe's right in terms of you've got to go with Mane. He was causing him problems, scored a good goal. I think Mo as well, you know, you're definitely playing Mo. There's no two ways about that, I thought. You know, when he was trying that curler again last night, I was thinking that's getting closer, that now. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? And he looks a little bit like he's edging back towards the Mo we know and love. And hopefully Wembley is where it clicks and one of them goes in the top bin instead of just going just wide. And then I'd love to see Diaz start, because I think that, you know, that's quite balls out. He's a bit different. He'll run at you. He'll cause you problems. And look, if they haven't got the first choice defence and they've got De Bruyne out, Walker out and things like that, we might be able to get at them a little bit more. My thing was what you said before, John, about Keita. I don't think he'll do it, but I think there's a decent argument to do it. Because one of the things that was annoying for me in the game the other week was just how we allowed them to get at us a little bit early on, and we lost some of those battles early on, and, you know, we were just a bit sleepy, a bit dozy over that free kick, and both Fabinho and Henderson were sleepy on it. You know, stand over it, get in the way, don't let them take the quick one. So Keita to me is one who, okay, we've had our problems with him, but he presses and he works, and, you know, he's quite switched on and he's clever with his passing and things like that. And I don't know, he feels like one who'd be a good one to have in the side to help with a quick start. I just can't see Fabinho playing that bad again either. And then you've got to have Henderson in there, I think, because he's the skipper and all the rest of it, and he's up for big games. So, you know, I wouldn't expect him to be dropped. So I think that's my midfield. And that's before with Lan as well, and then the rest of it sort of picks itself, doesn't it? I guess there's maybe a question mark about Matip, but we keep saying that now. You know, touch wood, where some wood he at. You know, people keep saying he doesn't play this many games in the row and all that, but he can't viz now, isn't he? He's been all right fitness wise again. Such wood.
What would they be able to find some wood there on the table? But he's done it for the Reds. His commitment knows no boundaries. Chloe, I mean, Robert sort of alluded to there about, you know, these lads, you know, you back them in big moments and you back them in big games. And I think that's what, you know, I'm trying to remember when I do get a little bit nervous is that, well, how many times have they actually let us down, you know, over the last sort of 3-4 years? You know, it's on one hand, isn't it? You're counting how many times, really. And I fully expect them to turn up on Saturday. And that's not to say the City won't as well, because, you know, they're a really good side and their fans might be saying the same. But, you know, when I try and think with me head as well as my heart, I just sort of feel that, you know, you can back these boys to stand up when it matters.
Yeah, you can back them all the time. I think when we played them on Sunday, I think Liverpool were maybe a 6 out of 10, and we've came out of that game with a draw. And you saw that once we actually strung a couple of passes together, we were extremely dangerous. Our two goals came from us just getting the ball down and passing on amongst them. And we didn't keep hold of possession good enough on Sunday. That was the main problem. Now, in obviously a neutral stadium, hopefully the lads have more calmness about them, because it was like the ball was at a potato at times on Sunday. It was a bit mad to watch. But yeah, I think we played the occasion on Sunday, and let's not do it this week. This weekend, for me, it doesn't feel like the biggest game. It's obviously a massive game, but it doesn't feel as massive as what happened on Sunday. And maybe that's because we've got the know-how of what to do. We've been here before. We've done it before. And this time, you know, there'll be a lot of reflection on that. The lads have had a really good rest, and also these lads have been in semi-finals before, been in the semi-final of a Champions League. They've been knocked down several times and they've came back. So an FA Cup semi-final, you know, it shouldn't be something that's not, you know, out of the ordinary for them. We've already played at Wembley once. We've already won something at Wembley once.
Yeah, sure.
And why not keep up the great percentage result against that? Because we played a very, very strong Chelsea side. At the time, a lot of people were saying they could potentially win the league, and they dropped off, and, you know, we beat them. So let's just go and beat City as well. But if we could avoid Gavin's penalties, my heart would be absolutely delighted.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point from Chloe there, Adam, just to sort of start rounding off in that they'll have a good feeling when they go to Wembley. You know, they'll be there and they'll remember, you know, the penalties, they'll remember the celebrations, they'll remember Kepa. They're all these wonderful memories sort of flooding back. And I think City lost last time they were out there. They got beaten in the FA Cup semi-final last year. So I'm going with that. So, you know, so that might be, you know, it's slightly sort of different feeling. But for us, you know, they'll be thinking about, you know, that League Cup and thinking, that was great, more of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We've got the same dressing room.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's, you know, winning begets winning, doesn't it? You know, that's a reality of football. When teams are doing well, they tend to carry on doing well. And it's why the likes of Leicester's Premier League win was such a great story, because it kind of came out of nowhere and then nothing really followed it for a few years. Whereas normally when a team wins the Premier League, it goes on to win something else. It keeps going there because the players get that feeling and going, yeah. And, you know, let's all be honest, probably like the bump in the bank balance when they get a bit of silverware to the name as well. Thanks to all of the bonuses that they'll have attached to them. So I think we'll go. I think we'll be really relaxed. I'm lucky. I think, you know, Jürgen's able to sell these lads a story, exactly as you've already said, of, yeah, we've been here, we've won here, they haven't. The last time they were here, they lost. The last time we were here, we lifted a trophy. Let's get ourselves back into that sort of situation. But also, they've just been to Spain. They've had to deal with Simeone and Atletico Madrid doing the nutting, not just for the 90 minutes either, for the, you know, sort of 10, 15 minutes afterwards with all the ridiculousness around that. Whereas we've had a lovely little time. Even your man Nunes at Benfica was saying after the match, he was like, you know, I thought I was going to score, and then Alisson saved it. Oh, that was fun, wasn't it? He was having a laugh. We've had a lovely old time. You know, the everyone's singing Jürgen's new song. We all had a really, like, all hands together kumbaya we've had while they've been dealing with Simeone's devil men. And so I think the Klopp's going to be able to sell them all that and go, let's just go and enjoy ourselves. They'll be stressed out. Get a goal early and they'll just be really, really annoyed with life.
That's what we want, isn't it? Half, I mean, Mike's annoyed with life, definitely, Gareth, but half five, we're listening to the Beatles rather than Blue Moon blasting around Wembley.
Yeah, what we don't want as well, I mean, you know, it's you don't want to moan about these type of things we've already even happened, but you don't want extra time, do we? Want pens, not least because it's going to be a fucking bollock to get there and back. Thanks for that, everyone who's been involved in the organisation of that. But yeah, we want it done, and a fast start would help. And you know, that's such a cliche around football games, but it's also true, because you know you set your stall out in terms of what you're doing, and Liverpool didn't do that last week. I kind of think I'd be surprised to see a squad, a side, and with coaches we've got as well, the quality around all of that, I'd be surprised to see them start slowly again and be caught in the way they were last time. So I make us, in my head, at least the favourites for this. I think we're all right for this. And then also I think as well, but you know, just to get one in early, I seen some odds earlier on for us against United. 13-2 for a United win at Anfield. Like, wow, how the mighty have fallen. absolute shite. Just thought I'd get that in there.
And you still won't waste a fiver on it, would
you?
I've just checked. The Manchester City have lost in the FA Cup semi-final the last two seasons. So there we are. Beat by Chelsea last year and Arsenal the year before. So it's all coming together. It's all coming together for the Reds. Listen, I hope you've enjoyed this show. I hope you've enjoyed all our content over today. As I say, we're going to be having a blank date tomorrow. It's the Hillsborough anniversary. We never put anything out. And so, but we'll be back on the bus on Saturday, putting something out in the morning and then straight after the game, hopefully after the jubilant Liverpool win, and we've seen Liverpool go into the FA Cup final. That is the hope, that is the plan. But thanks a lot. A couple of people as well have mentioned the poor unfortunate man who unfortunately died in the stadium last night as well. So obviously aware to him and his family. You know, there was a few people who were around him who were obviously aware of the incident just before the game, and unfortunately the news has come through that he has passed away. So absolutely terrible, and our thoughts of course are with him. But I hope you've enjoyed the show, everyone. Nothing from us tomorrow. We'll see you Saturday. Sports Social Podcast Network.